Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, one in the books, two to go. Plenty more of the big show. It's The Usual Suspects on a Thursday on ESPN 97.5. Nicholas pointed out to us in the break that we went a whole hour without baseball talk, which is rare for us because we love baseball.
That's true.
Yes.
I hope the people out there that get angry notice that as well.
But do I dare say it?
What?
This was not much to talk about. I mean, based on the way they played last night, I mean, nine times with runners in scoring position.
Yuck.
They came up empty. They hit it as several double plays. Every time I thought, okay, here's where they're going to break out and get at least one or two and get back in this thing, it was just a routine double play ball over and over again.
Actually, I forgot to tell you, A.J. Hinch is confirmed for tomorrow
at
2:45. So we can ask him about that tomorrow.
Yeah. Keuchel gets his first loss of the season, gives up a bomb right away, and they get behind right away again in the first inning with a two-run bomb to Logan Morrison. And again, it wasn't like they didn't have opportunities. They had lots of guys on base. They just didn't do anything once they had them in scoring position.
So they're now 9-9 post All-Star break. Yeah. They are 500.
Yeah.
They have lost two games in a row for the second time in five games. So they lost two in a row to Detroit. They won the first game against Tampa Bay, and now they've lost two in a row again. They lost at least two games in a row five times total in the first half. That early on, they lost three in a row. They lost two in a row to Cleveland when they lost that series. They lost all three to Cleveland a little bit later. They got swept. They lost two in a row to KC, and then three in a row between the Angels and Rangers. And that was it. The rest of the time, it was all just one losses scattered around here and there. So not a great sign. And like we said, are you going to look back at this and be like, oh, boy, you really should have made a move to try to, you know, help this team? And I would say, though, don't panic, because we've seen this where this team, like I mentioned, they've had a couple of three losses in a row. They had that really bad stretch where they faced KC, Anaheim, and the Rangers and the Red Sox. And in that time frame, they lost way more than they won throughout those series. So no reason to panic. We knew this was going to happen. There was going to be some low spots.
Reactionary is human nature for the fans, but also for the team. The reason why the team isn't panicked, the reason why the team isn't rushing guys back, the reason why the team isn't trying to do a lot of desperation type moves is because their lead is still so big. They're still 15 up in the division. They know they're going to be there at the end of the season. That they just have to go seven games over 500 the rest of the way to win 100 games. So they're going to have a hell of a season. You just don't want it to be a great regular season and then a real disappointing playoff run. And so to touch on what I touched on before the break, Justin Verlander cleared waivers yesterday. So he's out there. So again, if you're those that feel like they didn't do something and they had to and they should have and it was a huge travesty, there's still one guy out there that isn't a fourth or fifth starter with a bad contract that is, you know, possibly obtainable. At least there's one guy. And again, the big thing is not whether Verlander could be that guy for you. It's how much are the Tigers going to eat of his salary? And what are you going to have to give up to get him? Because at the end of the day, the articles that I've read from Detroit papers and people that cover the Tigers said they're strapped for the next 3 years in terms of trying to be competitive unless they unload that contract. So there's a little bit of desperation or motivation for them as well. It's just you hope you don't have to give up as much And you hope that they pick up some of the price tag.
Yeah, and, you know, what our teams, it depends, right? Because Houston is notoriously cheap overall.
Right.
You know, being middle market. They're not a small market team. They're not a big market team, but their payroll could be higher. Mm-hmm. Do you want to dump all of that into one guy and then, you know, try to count on him for the next couple of years while you're trying to make some World Series runs over the next 3 or 4 or 5 years? Because I think that's probably the window, the next 5 years.
Yeah, for sure. I'd agree with that. But, I just – Keuchel wasn't bad last night, but he still wasn't the Dallas Keuchel of the first half or the Dallas Keuchel that, you know, we started to get comfortable seeing again. Coupled with McCullers, coupled with the fact that there's still a question mark on McHugh, you got a whole lot of really quality fours, fives, possible threes on the roster currently. But I still think going into the postseason, you got to have at least one horse that you can really rely on. And
yeah, but Joel, if that were the case, then they should have made the move a lot sooner. You know what I mean? If they were going to do that, then they should have gone and gotten Quintana when they could have, or they should have gotten Darvish or even Sonny Gray, or one of these guys that you could count on to be.
I don't think Sonny Gray is a horse. I don't think he's had the playoff experience.
Listen, I've said it. I wasn't high on Sonny Gray, but I think that he makes the staff a lot better. But I think that part of the problem is the Astros waited too long.
I agree with that.
They waited too long, or they were just, you know, like, oh, no, there was no panic or no sense of urgency. And that's, again, that's fine. In fact, if you want, my article today for Houston Sports and stuff was everybody calm the bleep down. Like, go read this article that I wrote. It's basically saying why I think the Astros will still be okay, even without making a big splash at the deadline. It's all covered in there. And I don't think there's any reason to panic. I would have liked to see them make the move or make a move.
There's a big difference between panic and worry. Worry set in with me a little bit because I love their offense and I love everything that they have offensively, but I still know how playoff baseball goes, and I still know that looking at teams and watching games my whole life and being a fan of teams, when I'm a fan of a team and I want and I'm obviously pulling for them, I would like them to have that one guy that you're going to hand the ball to, like we've talked about, two and maybe three times in a 7-game series, and know this guy's keeping you in it, this guy is dominant. This guy's going to make sure that you got the best chance in terms of from the pitching perspective. I don't have confidence right now. I'm not panicked, but I am concerned because, yes, they have a big lead, and yes, they're going to be in the postseason, but they're not playing just to be in the postseason. I want this team to win it all, and they're capable of. I think Keuchel's comments kind of sum that up. Yes, I still think we can get to the World Series, but he stopped short of saying, I think we can win it. That leads me to believe there might be even a little bit of doubt there.
Well, I don't know why you would think Verlander would be. I mean, he's got a 4.29 ERA this year. He's not pitching like a typical. He's not having a typical Verlander season, which could be age. It could be any number of reasons. But the first half, you saw what Keuchel and McCullers are capable of. It's just getting them back to that point. I mean, they're slumping like everybody else. remember Altuve when he was hitting below 300, and
sure.
Now look.
But,
so it's going to happen. It's just when does the slump happen and how long until they get out of it?
Is it a win? Because
they're slumping right now.
At this point, and I'm talking about from the pitching perspective, though, my thing was when they get healthy. I still believe between, you know, there was plenty of time, and by the end of the season, they were going to be healthy. I'm starting to put an if instead of a when because, you know, McCullers now second time, same back injury. We already had Keuchel with second time with the same neck injury. I'm not saying that they're going to linger on, but you also need that time to make sure that they're back to get them in, you know, get the innings under their belt and get everything polished off and get the sharpness of the break of their breaking pitches so that by the time postseason rolls around, they are sharp. Okay. And I'm starting to worry about it.
All right.
So, all right. Let us know if you want to comment on that. I know there's plenty of you that already thought they should have made a move. But what are your thoughts on the Astros now as opposed to where they were maybe even at the All-Star break? And are you concerned? 713-780-3776. Or hit us up on Twitter with Usual Suspects. Back with a whole lot more. ESPN 97.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, Nick, and Joel, till 4, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We touched on it. I didn't want to break it till at least was a half hour old. Ryan Tannehill, we don't have confirmation of the severity of the injury, but Ryan Tannehill at Dolphins practice today in a non-contact drill went down with at least perceived to be knee injury, and people reminded that he suffered a sprained ACL and MCL in the same knee last season, fell awkwardly on the sidelines while scrambling, did not get up. Trainers looked at the knee, which he had a brace on, and took the quarterback inside. Of course, now the
Matt
rumblings,
Moore, you're up.
You're up, but now everybody says the rumblings are Colin Kaepernick, your cell phone should be ringing, or should be, but will they be? And that's the question, because the other thing that's out there that I touched on was the fact that, according to a lot of writers, two of the most liberal owners and open to the idea of a Kaepernick-type situation, one of them would be Biscotti of the Ravens. But even though Flacco went down for the Ravens, ownership was the one that has vetoed it so far, though there are people inside the organization denying that, but they have not jumped to get to Colin Kaepernick for a tryout.
Other than the Patriots, though, name a better backup quarterback or a team with a better backup. I mean, Garoppolo, obviously, I think is...
Than Kaepernick?
Than Matt Moore.
Oh, no, he's got a lot of experience. He's proven best, in short windows. He can get it done.
Yeah, he's probably the best backup QB not named Jimmy Garoppolo.
I'm trying to think.
I mean, maybe A.J. McCarron? Does he do it for you?
See, but I've never seen him do it.
We've seen the Geno Smiths of the world with the Giants.
In a game.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, to me, Garoppolo and Matt Moore, if anyone's going to go down on those two teams, they're okay. I mean, again, he's not a starter, but that's why you have a backup in case something like that happens.
You can't say Minnesota because Bridgewater hasn't been cleared to play again, but nope. Bridgewater along with Sam, who's my man from Oklahoma?
Bradford.
Sam Bradford. Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what they do for a backup to the backup. Kaepernick. It's an interesting dilemma. I just can't believe no team has given that dude a chance.
Here's what Irm Edwards had to say about him potentially Kaepernick being a fit for the Ravens.
Well, they have to make a decision at the quarterback position, and the fact that Joe Flacco right now seems to be still not well enough to play. Ryan Mallett is struggling a little bit in camp. When you think about their situation with Cap, he's a guy that's familiar with the offensive coordinator. He was with him in San Francisco. The head coach can get all the information he needs. All he has to do is pick up the phone and talk to his brother.
It's absolutely spot on. But again, as we found out, I mean, you know, you go back to what we were talking about in terms of the Astros not making a move. You could have all that fine and dandy in your back pocket and have those kind of things double checked, and then all of a sudden ownership gets involved. And again, what they say publicly as opposed to what they do privately are two different things, but there might be the chance that they've done all of that and they know all of that and ownership said no.
Yeah. It happens. It certainly does. This is, again, and I don't want to go down this whole Colin Kaepernick because we've debated and discussed this ad nauseum. But, yeah, I mean, you look at the NFL, it's still a good old boys network. It is still old men ownership. And I am surprised that Cap has not picked up with the team yet.
I am too. And you know, everybody was, oh, he had the dead arm for a while. But look, his legs, the way he runs, look, I witnessed it personally with what he did to Green Bay with his legs alone, let alone the fact that he could throw. He had a rocket arm. And he knew how to maximize his talents in that system. And of course, that brings you to what Herm said. I mean, if that's his old offensive coordinator in Baltimore, doesn't seem like it would be too difficult. It seemed like it would be a pretty good security blanket to have if Flacco is more serious than they're thinking right now.
Yeah. Somebody texted, Barry, what the hell? You teased your not safe for work story. Now I got to know. Don't do us listeners like that. Yeah, we totally just.
Yeah, we went into Astros when we should have went into your little story.
Damn baseball. Well, damn Joel, too. I mean,
yeah.
Thanks, Joel.
Thanks, Appreciate Joel. Hashtag thanks,
that.
Joel.
Let's bring that back. It's been a good week.
I think we should bring that back. I think that should be
I'm
a weekly.
I'm shocked that you think that.
We should do a weekly thanks, Joel. Right?
Well, that's got to be a benchmark.
I'm for it.
Yeah, we got to. I know you're for it.
Nick's like, yeah. I'm in, but we should let the listeners do it, right? No? He's sipping the water.
Yeah, that's the angry sip.
Yeah, I remember purposely that. For you.
Okay, so do we do that or do I do these tweets?
Yeah, go ahead. Tell them.
Get them out of I mean, people are clamoring for it. They can't get enough of it. They want
one
it.
Texter. One texter.
Becomes a million in a short period of time.
What do they say? Like one, every time you get a call or a text or a tweet, it represents 100 people or 1,000 people or something like that that are listening?
I don't know.
Who knows? Okay, so my not safe from work moment was I was still working at Halliburton at the time, and I don't remember what I was doing, but I had a lot on my mind, a lot was going on, and I had to use the restroom, and they had just built out this new area, so it was kind of all new, and I go to the restroom, and I go into one of the stalls, and I was peeing, and then I hear the sound of heels on the floor. And I was like, what?
That's hilarious.
And then I thought to myself, I don't remember seeing any urinals, which I thought was strange when I walked in. I was like, no urinals. That's kind of a weird thing to do in the bathroom. And so I go to the stall, and that's when I heard the heels, and that's when it dawned on me. Oh, ish. I just went into the women's restroom.
Nice.
So here I am at work. I'm in management in the women's restroom, standing up peeing in a stall, and a woman walks in. I didn't know what to do. I
stay in there, of course,
yeah,
and wait till she walks out.
Jump up on the toilet.
Well, yeah,
seat
but
or
she can see obviously that there's men's dress shoes there.
Stand up on the toilet.
No, I peed.
Think about all the germs that would have
been
on the bottom
of your shoes. And I waited, and she left, and then I still washed my hands and hurried out.
But that was much better than had you stood on the toilet and thought about all the germs that would have been on the bottom of your
shoes. Oh, I wouldn't have cared about that, but I would have panicked. I was like, do I turn around and sit down? Maybe she...
God, hearing those heels walking in the bathroom would have made my heart drop. Yeah.
My heart dropped. So then I had to, like, sneak out. Like, is she going to be waiting outside for me? How is this going to end?
Oh, she left before you got done?
Yeah, I waited her out. I was like, no. So I don't know if she just came in, and I don't know what she did, but yeah, I was gone.
Wow.
Scariness.
Yeah.
What if she was just like, she came in and she dropped the deuce, and she was in there for like 45 minutes, an hour and a half, and he just had to be stuck in there listening to it the whole time?
Grunting and...
Oh, that would have been hilarious.
Yeah, that would have sucked.
No, women don't do that.
No, never. Of course not. Okay, we got a couple questions. Barry, do you think that the Astros can compete with L.A.? The Dodgers? I think they can compete. You're looking at it's the tale of two teams. One team has the better offense in the Astros, and one team has the much better pitching staff in the Dodgers. And that's going to be the difference. And obviously, when it comes to playoff time, if you're going to have to choose, you've got to go with the better pitching staff. Now, I say all that based on how they've produced thus far. I think the Astros, when healthy and when everybody is performing like they're capable of, I think this Astros staff, as is, can hang with anyone, especially now that Fires and Peacock have turned a corner. Again, we discussed this yesterday, and I hate to do it every day, but... When you just look at the playoff rotation, you've got McHugh and Morton. Are they going to be in there? Do you put them in the bullpen? Do you let Peacock and Fires, who have been pitching much better? But they've got six starters who all are capable of being a three in the or four in the playoffs. So, right now though, I'm going. If I had to choose, I would pick the Dodgers because I think they're just playing better. I mean, they're the best team in baseball for a reason. They're not losing, and it's because they can hit and they can pitch.
I was going to say the biggest thing is the pitching part of that because the Nationals can hit. But the Nationals pitching has been extremely suspect. And now Scherzer has a neck issue. You don't know how long that's going to last. But their bullpen has been suspect. They tried to do a few things to try and put a Band-Aid on it.
I was going
to
say, they got some help. They went out and got Doolittle, yeah, I believe, from the A's. So that helps. He's already gotten a couple of saves to kind of stabilize the bullpen. Yep. But Doolittle doesn't strike fear in your heart. You know what I mean?
Right.
He's hittable.
Right.
He's not untouchable like some of the elite closers like Zach Britton. Wish they would have done that.
And here's the thing. But, don't sleep on the Cubs. The Cubs, as bad as they've been all year, we know they can hit. But they went out and got a Justin Wilson, who, in my estimation, in a lot of people's estimation, and believe what you read or not, the Astros were hot on the trails of him because it was a team-friendly contract. But we saw that guy pretty much up close and personal in the Detroit series in Detroit. Dude's got some electric stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So they got him. They tried to address some of their pitching concerns, but I wouldn't sleep on the Cubs either. Right now, the Nationals, who were everybody's kind of sexy pick before the break, look like they might be the third best team in the National League.
Very well could be.
So I don't know. I mean, and from an American League perspective, Cleveland didn't do anything that really scares me. And everybody says, well, you lost both series in the regular season to the Indians. I don't care. I still think they don't scare me. But you have to be concerned with what the big powers do, because Boston made a few moves. The Yankees made a lot, and the Yankees were the ones that probably made the biggest jump because of it.
I mean, it's like Keiko said, everyone else is making moves and they didn't do anything.
Right. So, I mean,
the rich got richer.
It's painful to sit
there. Why are these penises making fun of my jeans on Twitter?
What?
Why are they making fun of my jeans on Twitter?
What jeans are you wearing?
I don't know.
Where did that come from?
South Pole jeans. That's what they're calling it.
Because of the picture.
Not
nice. The picture.
Yes,
is that what it's from?
Ah,
okay. Well, that might be. Right, so if you want to see the picture of the kilted beer man, it is on your. I'll retweet it.
Correct.
It's on your Twitter.
It's on my Twitter.
Okay. All right, so we got the halfway point, so we're going to step away for a second, and we're going to come back with a whole lot more. Something on your mind or something you want to talk about, 713-780-3776. That's where you can call, you can text, or you can hit us on Twitter. Usual suspects, back with a whole lot more, ESPN 97.5.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
We're back. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, midway point of the big show. Last one with all three of us in studio, as Willie is on the road again doing the most famous of the three of us world tour.
Where are you heading? I am the most famous of the three of us?
Without question. Are you heading to Fort Worth this time?
I don't
time?
Understand how that's even true.
Of course it is.
I don't know. I mean, maybe. You might be doing tours.
You got a real job.
I'm not doing tours. Would be like I'm in 15
road
cities.
Road shows.
And, you know, I'm doing like a 15-city tour. I thought
I saw someone out there with the Barry Laminack World Tour on the back of a t-shirt with all the different cities listed in the dates.
Shut your mouth.
And I think it had accommodations in small print for each city.
No. I am heading to Fort Worth.
Okay.
For 3 days. I'm doing a club called Hyenas. They have three locations, Fort Worth and Dallas and Plano. So I'm doing the Hyenas Fort Worth location. Tell a friend if you got friends in Fort Worth, come see me. So I'm doing that tonight. I'm leaving early. I'm going to try to leave at our 3:40 break and get out of here. So I'm doing tonight, Friday night, two shows, Saturday night, two shows. And I'm probably driving back Saturday night so that I don't miss game day. So I probably won't get out of there until 1. I'll get home at 5. I'll get about 2 hours of sleep. So I will be terrible for Houston game
day. Take the extra day off.
We can handle game day.
Take the extra day off.
No, daddy's got to pay bills.
Hell no. What's that drive?
4 hours.
Four?
Yeah.
It's not the worst. I mean, considering the way you drive, I mean, you say you're used to driving, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 hours. So.
Yeah, I put 1,500 miles on my little 2-week excursion to Wichita and OKC. I put 1,500 miles on the old truck. So this is nothing.
I say that, Nick, but then our commute every day, adds up too and takes its toll. Like when I was working for the Rockets, I lived in Midtown. I was six blocks from the building. Mm-hmm. If I didn't have to go to Starbucks, it was like nothing. Yeah, and even still, nice. And I never put miles on my car. And now it's like, man, you can rack them up in a hurry.
I could complain a lot more, but I know other people have more, like much worse commute than right. I do, like and, your boy Barry. But
and no one would care.
That's true. I knew that was coming.
That's true.
You could complain. Falls on deaf ears over here, buddy. If you want to talk about drives,
yeah,
get out of here.
Yeah, I know.
You guys like you got. We all leave at the same time most days. And I'm willing to bet you I'm spending an extra 20 to 30 minutes.
Oh, I'm sure Joel and I, we're chilling at the house. Like
yeah. It takes us like, what, 20 minutes?
Yeah. Oh, I hate you both.
Yeah.
Hate you both. It's a solid hour for me on a good day.
And that's with traffic. Otherwise, if there's no accidents, it takes us like 16.
I hate you both.
I don't think that. So it's probably 20 minutes.
Ugh, you make me sick. You really do.
Just add that to the list of the reasons.
And then at the end of the month, I'm going to the Valley.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You driving?
I am.
That's what, 6 hours?
It's about six, five, a bit longer five than and that. A half.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
So man, tryouts for the Vipers coming up. You might want to.
I've got a tour of the Valley.
You might want to unpack the hook shot. Get over to a couple Vipers tryouts.
Somebody hit me up. Eric Boyd, a buddy of mine. Eric Boyd. We went to high school together, and I didn't even realize on Twitter, but he was following me, and he was like, hey, man, keep up the good work, man. It's good to see someone from JV doing some things, man. It's not like high school or JV basketball or something like that. I was like, oh.
You mean Jersey Village, right?
Yeah,
Jersey Village. Speaking of
the JV, got it.
Jason, I forgot his last name, but he won a prize on the Blitz yesterday, and he came in to pick it up,
uh-huh.
And he mentioned you. He's like, I think I'm a few years before him, but yeah, Barry and I went to the same high school. I don't know if Jason is listening, but he says he listens to the show a lot, and he said he was a couple years before you.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to say Jason Erse something. I don't know what he said, but I don't know if I should give out his last name. But
yeah, you never know. People get weird about that.
Yeah, but it's a JV partner.
He brought up Jersey Village basketball, which was when I had finally learned how to play a little bit. That's when my foster brother, Dante, we were playing every day. And so he was making me better because he was like 6'4". He's the one that punched Ike in the face on last game. But he was making me better. But I don't remember if Eric and I went to junior high or elementary, but that's when the 3-point hook shot was introduced. I think it was junior high, like 6th or 7th grade.
Okay.
So, yeah. I don't know if he got to around for that.
I think, I'll dust it off it gets if I better have with to. Age. I think that, you know, you call it a Cabernet and you just bring it out.
I'll dust it off if I need to.
I know some people. I can get you in the tryout and move you along the selection committee.
When we did our 3-on-3, Team Fat versus Team Fit, I showed you guys what I did. It's a pretty sweet move, actually. You know, tell me you didn't see that coming. Like, no one knew. And if you make it, you're a hero.
It's a big if.
Yeah, it is definitely a big if.
Okay, Nestor Carmona, by the way, is one of our most loyals, but the passion of Nestor and Eric on Astros.
Yeah, everyone's
pretty deep.
Nestor thought he caught me. He was like, "Well, what's it going to be, Barry? Can they win it all? Can they beat everyone? Or should they mortgage the future for a starting pitcher or whatever?" I was like, "I don't know what you're talking about," but basically what I said was, I would have let this team is built to beat, you know, they can beat anyone. I believe that as is. But I also said I'd have liked to have gone and seen them gotten an extra arm for the bullpen. But I also don't think anyone in that farm system was untradeable. So if that was the reason, that's unacceptable. I've said all this. I've said it several times. So I'm not talking out of both sides of my face here.
I'm just watching your face. You're right. You're not.
Okay. All right. Just making sure.
All right. So, with that being said, we still have a lot to get to. We got to get to this McGregor sparring match because it looks like in a short period of time, not that I'm giving anybody any hope for a worthwhile pay-per-view excursion. It looks like McGregor's been spending some time trying to hone his craft. But we can give you a report on the latest sparring session. And hopefully, or maybe, we might even have a personal account of the sparring session. So we'll talk about that. We can talk about Texans training camp. We can talk about whatever's on your mind. 713-780-3776. That's the HRNP listener line. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter. Usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I don't know if you guys saw this or not, and we're going to live by Barry's law on things we're not going to talk about. But I thought that the NBA on TNT sent out a tweet last night that was very funny. They put the BBB of Big Baller Brand versus, and they put the Jordan logo, but they cut off his back leg. Because Jordan said, I could beat him with one leg. That's so they hilarious. Had the Jordan logo, but he was missing his back leg. I
Who
thought it was
tweeted
fantastic.
That?
TNT.
Oh, that is
I retweeted it.
Standing.
It was awesome.
Oh, yes. That makes me happy to hear that.
Yes, it was very fantastic. Because, I mean, he's out there. Never mind. Let's go on. Move on. By the way, I will say this, too. Richard Deitch, who is a longtime sports writer at Sports Illustrated and other places, he sent a tweet the other day seeing if people could hold true to not mentioning the father of the first-round pick of the Lakers. Excuse me. And how long they could do it. And he said there's a lot of people that said they weren't going to do it, but because it's an easy story, every time he opens his mouth, they keep doing it. And Scott Van Pelt said, look, ever since I said I wasn't going to do it, I won't. And he's like, won't you find pressure from ESPN that you have to, especially around NBA season? He said, we'll see. He said, but for now, I'm holding true to the fact that that man's name's not coming out of my mouth.
I like it.
I like it, too.
So I do. We'll see. I appreciate that. Mucho. Hey, you want to do this poll, or did you have something else?
No, go ahead.
So the Amway coaches poll has been released. Your top 25 college football teams. I should go backwards, huh? I shouldn't reveal who number one is because it's a.
Is it a new one or is it predictable?
All right, I'm going to do these quickly.
Yeah, I noticed you didn't answer that.
25, Utah. 24, Tennessee. 23, University of Texas. Welcome back, UT.
The U of H Cougars
the
love that.
Savior, Tom Herman.
Tom Herman.
22, Virginia Tech. 21, South Florida. Number 20, West Virginia. 19, Kansas State. 18, Miami. 17, Louisville. 16, Florida. 15, Georgia. 14, Stanford. 13, Auburn. 12, LSU. 11, Oklahoma State. Top 10. Here you go. You ready?
Yep.
You're just waiting, aren't you?
Nope. Well, maybe.
Number 10, Wisconsin Badgers.
Hey, we made it all the way to 10.
Yeah.
Polls I saw were 13 and 14. All
Number
right.
9, Michigan. Number 8, OU. Congratulations, OU, Mike. Number 7, Washington. Number 6, Penn State. Number 5, Clemson. Number 4, Southern California, yep. USC. Number 3, Florida State. Number 2, Ohio State. And number 1, Alabama. How A&M was left off of this, I'll never know. Just kidding.
It's a big year for them. I know John and Sean are broadcasting live from College Station tomorrow and Raheel. Yeah. But as much as we've kicked it around back and forth, and you being the biggest Aggie fan on the show, making sure that you pointed out from experience of following this team that, look, they get off to great starts, and then the second half of the season, they find a way to pee down their leg. But it might be catching up to him, Sumlin, where Sumlin might be on the hot seat.
He should
good
be.
And firm right now.
This is definitely a hot seat year for me. For
and
me.
If they're not even ranked.
And then last year, everyone was like, he's on the hot seat. I was like, no, let's see what happens. This year, it's a definite hot seat year for me with him.
What do they have at quarterback?
They've got a bunch of young kids. He's recruiting well, but I am not impressed with what is the dude's name? See, I can't even remember his name. He played. I'd have to go back and look. I forget his damn name.
I was just curious if they had like one guy targeted that was either highly recruited or
he started a couple of games.
Connor McQueen, yeah, Matt Jokel, and Connor Feist are three names that are being thrown around right now.
Well, I'm predicting a huge year for the SEC.
It's Hubenak. Jake Hubenak. That's who is their starter. And that's not good. That's just not going to be good enough to compete in the SEC. I mean, Knight was all right.
Yeah.
But Hubenak was not even close to what Knight was. So I think unless one of these young guys is going to surprise us and be the next Johnny Manziel, could be a long year for Aggie fan, including me. They're 31 in this poll, by the way, if you guys are curious. Lauren Pope. They ended up
I just feel
31.
A huge uptick for the SEC this year. I'm shocked that Wisconsin's in the top 10 because they have problems at quarterback.
Are you?
Yeah, I mean, they have too many guys that are just average trying to fight for the position. We'll see what they do at quarterback. But
I almost feel like the college football has kind of turned into the NBA. It's Bama, it's Ohio State, it's Golden State, it's Cleveland, and then it's everybody else. And we'll
funny
just have
you
to
should
see what
say
happens.
That, Barry Laminack.
Uh-oh, what I do?
Because now the early projections are in on the NBA for next season.
Oh, okay.
Projected win totals and conference ranking. And like you said, the Golden State Warriors lead all teams, guesstimating 62.1 wins.
Okay.
Number two in the entire NBA. I'm separating. I'm not even using conference separation. Number two in the entire NBA.
Cleveland.
Your Houston Rockets.
Shut up.
55, double nickel.
Okay.
Predicting 55 wins for the Rockets. Third?
Spurs.
Still not an Eastern Conference team. Spurs at 52.6, round up to 53, two short of the Rockets. And fourth in the West will surprise you. Still better than any team in the East, but fourth in the West. Okay, incorrect.
See. Oh, really?
I'm telling you, it's going to surprise you a little bit.
If you say the Lakers?
No.
Okay. I'm going to slap the crap out of you.
They got Lakers at 13th, 33 wins.
Okay.
So, again.
Can't be the Clips, right?
Nope. They have them at 6th, by the way, at 48.9 wins.
The Grizz, the Jazz, who?
No, yeah.
The Minnesota Timberwolves. Oh,
okay.
50.1 in the West. Top four in the West, Warriors, Rockets, Spurs, T-Wolves, and then followed closely by the Thunder at 49.5, then Clippers, Nuggets, and Jazz. There you go, Nick, with the Jazz. Eastern Conference, number one, not the Kings.
Celtics.
Yes.
Okay.
Boston at 49.4, followed extremely closely by the Cavs at 49.2. Three, the Wizards at 47.5. And number four in the East?
Sixers.
No, don't you know, you betcha.
Bucks.
Oh, God, okay. Yeah. The Greek Freak and Company there at number four at 46.9.
Okay.
Followed by the Hornets with Dwight Howard. Wearing a t-shirt he shouldn't be wearing if you've seen Twitter. Raptors all the way to 6 for Toronto.
That surprises me.
Me too. Heat at 7, Pistons at 8, Sixers at number 9.
Okay. I think the Sixers are going to surprise some folks.
I agree with that.
I do agree the Bucks will surprise some folks. I think that the Timberwolves as well, but I don't think that I would have taken them 4th. I really think the Thunder are going to be a lot better.
I think you're right, and I think for no other reason than they got to really have a big year to try and even sniff keeping one, if not both of those guys, George and Westbrook.
Yeah, I would have had the Thunder 4th in the West.
I think Minnesota's definitely on the way up, but I don't think they're there yet to be a top four team in the West because the West is so damn talented.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and the Mavericks, by the way, were 11th at 34.6. So.
Boo! I don't care about those stupid Mavericks. Get out of here.
I just want them to suck.
Oh, well, they will.
In Little D, I want them to suck in Little D.
They are the Mavericks. They will suck.
So there you go. So we've got that covered.
Okay. I like it.
So other than that, I was looking at different things that we can kick around.
I have one if you, and it's, I hate to do this. Where is it? It's from my wife. She read this to me. I was like, okay, you definitely have to text me that. Link. It is. All right, here we go. I found it. Okay. I'm not going to read the headline because it'll give it away. All right? Mm-hmm. We got 3 minutes left.
Yep.
An Arkansas man is behind bars after allegedly trespassing onto his neighbor's property in order to sexually assault the couple's donkeys.
Oh, you got to be kidding me. All that for a piece of ass?
If you had 13 seconds for an ass joke, please step up to the window and cash your ticket. Let's see. The Whitakers had previously told police they had problems with people harassing their animals for the past 3 years. And when no trespassing signs didn't work, they had cameras installed. Police said Emmert Whitaker. Emmert sounds like a guy that would have sex with a donkey. Like, if your name is Emmert, I'm like,
His first name is Emmert.
Emmert. He's probably molested a donkey at least once. So it's great how they say he does the molesting, though. Police said Emmert Whitaker told them where to go. The photos were turned over to police, showed a man placing a bag over one donkey's head and then rubbing his pelvis against the animal's rear. Where does it go? Yeah. Police said the picture showed the man feeding a donkey from a bread bag while rubbing his pelvis against the animal. This is later. This is July 5th and 6th. They called police around 1 a.m. on July 16th to report the suspect was in the field. This time they took video of the alleged animal assault, which allegedly showed him appearing to have some type of sexual interaction with a donkey. They later found the man hiding in some bushes. When confronted by police, he said he was just out taking a walk. He later replied that he gave them carrots but did not have sex with them. Then responding, he said, "Man, marijuana makes me do some sick things." Yeah, rubbing your pelvis on a donkey is pretty sick. But then when you start trying to be like, "Here, put this bag over your head." Like, how ugly of a donkey is that, by the way, that you have to put a bag over their head before you have sex with them? It's not even a cute donkey. You didn't even get a cute donkey that you didn't have to cover their face first.
But the guy had a kilt on for easy access.
No,
he just picked up the
don't
front.
Put that on him. By the way, I guess I read this wrong. Emmert Whitaker is the donkey owner. Okay. So, well, he sounds like he would have sex with a donkey to begin with. yeah. So, this dude is out here banging donkeys. And, oh, here's the best part. Compton was arrested Monday when he was charged with 4 counts of bestiality, 4 counts of criminal trespassing, and 4 counts of misdemeanor cruelty to an animal. Is that really? I would think, like, beating the animal is cruel, but, I mean, if you're, you know, you're boning them, that's
all
not necessarily
those counts,
cruelty.
What kind of jail time is he facing?
Well, then no one's bailed him out yet. He's still stuck.
So he's in there
no
now.
No one's posted his $5,000 bond.
All righty.
Go figure. Not a lot of money floating around in Arkansas for donkey bangers.
Emmert, huh?
Well, he ended up being the owner. I read it wrong. He's the owner, not the not the donkey.
So Emmert isn't the donkey abuser.
But Everett Lee Compton is the name of the dude. Now, see, he doesn't sound like a guy that would bang a donkey. Emmert
straight
does.
Out of Compton? Straight in the donkey. All righty. And on that note, we got 2 in the books, 1 to go. Plenty more of the big show. Don't go anywhere. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep their trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.